Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The College Baseball Experience on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WinBet. Bet $50 at WinBet and get $200 in free bets. Bet big, win bigger with WinBet. Download the WinBet app now or visit WynNBet.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by Sleeper. You already play fantasy on Sleeper, but now you can win cold hard cash with their new over-under game. Just head over to sleeper.com/SGP on your phone to join the SGPN group, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. That's sleeper.com/SGP. And make sure to download the SGPN app, your home for all of our free picks and podcasts. All righty. Welcome back to a brand new episode of the College Baseball Experience. I am your host today, Noah Beanick. You can follow me or find me on Twitter at 77NB. That's the word 70, the number 7NB. And today was the very first day of the College World Series this year, and both dogs won. It did not upset, unlike both games. Great payouts for people that were just riding the plus signs, taking the plus signs today. It was a great day of baseball, and I went 1-3 yesterday. I took both unders on the podcast. And the main story of the day today is that both games went over and it didn't really play to how Omaha typically plays. Now, for me, and for some other college baseball diehards, we like this because honestly, like, it's not an anomaly. It doesn't play different from every other game you ever play throughout the regular season. You're actually able to have some offense and hit a couple of balls over the wall. Now, hitting like 7 in a game, that gets to be a little bit out of hand, but we didn't technically have that. We had Oklahoma put up a lightning fest through the first 4 innings and have 13 runs recorded in the first 4 innings, but it wasn't like, I don't know, too bad. Like, obviously we probably have some juiced balls in the mix here, but to highlight the day, I mean, we had the grand slam by Jackson Nicklaus in the 4th inning. Oklahoma chased Nathan Detmer out of the game pretty fast there in the I think it was the first 2 innings. Maybe he went 1.2 innings, so he didn't even get out of the second inning. Just really disappointing for Texas A&M because he was a guy that they needed to at least get like 4 or 5 so they could bridge him into Menifee, who they brought in to finish off that inning, and then maybe get them to polish and try to win this game for him. But I mean, we saw that patented Texas A&M offense come into David Sandlin. They had no problem hitting that guy. He only got 1 out, gave up 4 runs. It was only on 2 hits, but there was a walk in between there, I believe. But yeah, the Jackson Nicklaus home run was awesome. Treadaway went 3 for 6. He had a good day himself. Robertson had the first three of the four RBIs of the game. He had a ground out in the first inning that scored John Spykerman, and then he had a hard ground ball up the middle of the infield for two more RBIs. So that was a quick one. And it was the Sooners had basically ended the game through the first two innings. It was 8-0. Texas A&M, like I mentioned, they showed great fight there to make this one close. And I mean, we had 1, 2, 3, 4 home runs hit in this game. Like, that's been more of a normal college baseball game this year. And that's kind of like the baseball that I would like to see, maybe a little bit less scoring than 25 runs in the game. But, or where's my math at here? It's 21-13-8. But, I mean, it's been a long day watching a lot of college baseball. But, yeah, I mean, that's a more exciting game than a 3-2 ball game that takes 4.5 hours like they do in Omaha sometimes. Very, very much enjoyed this game in the latter half, because in the first half it was really 8-0, and I mean, Texas A&M didn't really get into this game until I would say the seventh inning, when they made it interesting on Sandlin. They put up 3 runs in the second to bounce back after that 7-run second inning from Oklahoma. Then they scratched across 1 in the fourth and had their really good inning in the seventh inning with 4, and Oklahoma tacked down 1 more in the ninth to make it 13-8. And then going into the nightcap, there was 25,000 fans here for Texas Notre Dame. Notre Dame had a pretty good show out from what I hear. So you love to see that for me. I'm rooting for them as a Northern ball player myself. Love to see a Northern ball team playing well. And that's exactly what we have in Notre Dame here. Like I mentioned to start off the podcast, I thought that it would be a rough matchup for them to have to play through. But I mean, John Michael Bertrand pitched through it very well, went 5.1, only gave up 3 runs. And then Jack Finley came in and closed it off, going 2.1, didn't give up a run. So, I mean, Randy, my guest today, he's one of the true, we started the college baseball Slack channel and there was only 8 guys in it, and Randy, I believe, was one of the first 8. So, along with the help of him, Dryden, you've heard on this podcast, and Ryan, aka Bush League Bets, you've heard him on this podcast as well. The 3 of those guys have been very active in that Slack channel and giving out sharp plays left and right, and they keep it fun and they keep it competitive with me in there. They love to just chop it up, and I knew that from the conversations that me and him have had over the past, and that me and Dryden have had over the past, and then me and Ryan have had over the past, I knew that Randy would be a good guest on the podcast, and I wanted to have him on like I had Ryan and Dryden on, and just kind of show them a little bit of love for helping me build this, helping me and Colby build that Slack channel over there. But yeah, Texas, they had Pete Hansen didn't have his best stuff again today. That's 2 rough starts for him. Gave up 9 hits in 4.1 innings. Gave up 6 earned runs. Only had 5 strikeouts. Didn't walk a guy, though. He hit 2 batters. And coming into this game, he had only hit 3 batters all game or all season long. The bright side of this, though, and it's bright side, but then again, they've used him for 59 pitches now, is that Tristan Stevens had another good outing again today. He came in for 4.2 innings in relief, only gave up 2 runs. The 1 earned run was a homer. He had 2 strikeouts and 1 walk, and the walks have been what's plagued him. To go 4.2 with only 1 is a good sign from him. And We saw 2 home runs from the Notre Dame side, and Jarrett Miller, who's an amazing story. This was his 4th game back from injury. He hit a home run in his 1st game back against Tennessee. He's hit one here now in the 5th inning, or the 1st inning, off of Pete Hansen to get the party started for the Fighting Irish there. And then what's his name? Carter Putz put up another home run. That guy's been insanely hot throughout the postseason, or at least through the Tennessee series into the first game here against Texas. He had 2 RBIs on that home run. Jared Miller had another RBI, and Myers had two RBIs out of the nine hole. Just a very, very solid game from a solid baseball team that doesn't make mistakes. Didn't have one single error in the field today. They had one ball that I think it got kicked around, but it wasn't recorded as an error. Just Texas wasn't able to take advantage of seeing the left-handed pitchers like I thought they would be able to. But enough of this rambling on about reviewing the games. We have a great, great discussion between me and Randy for Saturday's slate of games, June 18th for the College World Series. Before we get to those, though, I got to run through these ads. We got five of them right here, right now, today. We start off with the presenting sponsor of the podcast, WynnBET. Make sure to get down on WynnBET $50 win $200 bet promotion, where a $50 bet qualifies you up to $200 in free bets. That's a lot of bets, baby. Bet $500 on sports or the casino before July 31st, 2022 to get entered into Win the Ultimate Fantasy Football Draft Experience at Encore Beach Club, including a two-night stay at Wynn Resorts for you and your entire league. Multiple entries are allowed, so if you bet $1,000, you would get two entries. Also, all users can bet $100 on the NBA or the casino and be entered into a prize drawing to attend a DJ Diesel, aka Shaquille O'Neal, performance at Encore Beach Club at night, as well as a meet and greet with DJ Diesel himself this summer. All users can also bet $100 on golf from Thursday to Sunday in the U.S. Open and earn an entry into a prize drawing where a winner and a guest will receive a complimentary round of golf at Wynn Golf Club and a two-night stay at Wynn Las Vegas. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is download the WynnBET app or visit wynnbet.com to get started. Now, on to Sleeper. Sleeper is the fastest-growing fantasy platform with millions of players, and you probably already have some fantasy leagues of yourself on there for you and your friends, and I use it for some of mine. It's a game-changing product, unlike anything else in the industry, and now you can make money on Sleeper 2 by playing their new over-under game. It's super simple. First, in any sport, choose two or more players that you like and pick the over or under. For example, the number of points in basketball or hits in baseball. Then, choose the amount of money you want to enter into the contest. If you pick correctly, you can win anywhere from 2 times to over 20 times the amount of money you put in. The main reason I'm excited about the over-under on Sleeper is that it's the only app where I can join my buddies' contests and play together. It's got a built-in group chat where I can see and copy my friends' picks with a tap of a button, and it's insanely fun to ride it out together. Stop what you're doing and download Sleeper now to play their new over-under game, have fun with your friends, and make some money. Use our promo code SGPMLB to get 100% deposit match at sleeper.com/SGP. Gentlemen, Father's Day is right around the corner, and our friends at Manscaped are here to ensure all the father figures out there are looking daddy material this June. Manscaped Performance Package 4.0 includes their signature lawnmower 4.0, and it's the perfect bundle to tackle any and all old man hair from head to toe. This right here is no dad joke, so treat him and yourself and join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code SGP at manscaped.com. Trust me, his dad bod will thank you. First off, let me start by saying the Lawnmower 4.0 will be the official MVP of Father's Day. Does your dad use the same trimmer for his body and face? Let's throw that old one out the window and give him the new upgrade he deserves. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code SGP at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use promo code SGP. SGP. Shake what your mama gave you? No, shake what your daddy gave you. The College Baseball Experience is also brought to you by Athletic Greens and their AG1 supplement. So what is this stuff? With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole foods, or superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients that supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging. It costs you less than $3 a day, and you're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. AG1 supports better sleep quality and recovery, and Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/SGP. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/SGP to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Did you know that browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? That's right. Without added security, you might as well give away all of your private data to hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and other prying eyes. That's why I use IPVanish VPN to make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet. IPVanish helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. This means that your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online, and it's that simple. You can use IPVanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing speed on your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. Whether I'm at home or in public, I don't go online anymore without using IPVanish. IPVanish is offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's just like getting 9 months for free. IPVanish is super easy to use, and all you have to do is tap one button and you're instantly protected. You won't even know it's on. So stop sharing with the world everything you stream, everything you search for, and everything you buy. Take your privacy back today with the brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. So go to IPVanish.com/SGP and use promotional code SGP and claim 70% savings. That's IPVanish.com/SGP. All right, now on the College Baseball Experience, one of the OG members of the College Baseball Slack channel, aka the D-Gen Dugout, representing LSU, we have Randy, aka Honkus, from the channel. How you doing, my man?
Hey, Noah, doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no problem. So you're a Tiger fan, and I just wanted to get one of the OG guys on for the pod during the College World Series, and you were one of the guys that has been contributing to that channel and helping me just give out plays during the season. And I had Dryden on, and I had Alex on, and I wanted to get you on because you were one of the originals that was always commenting. So I know you're a Tiger fan. You're an LSU one and not a Tiger or not an Auburn one. Unfortunately, your team's done, but talk about the LSU's first year with head coach Jay Johnson. Maybe they didn't get to where you wanted them to get to this year, but you've got a great recruiting class coming in this year, and Dylan Cruz is probably going to be a top five overall pick next year. How's the transition from Paul Mainieri to Jay Johnson going in your eyes?
It's been okay. Obviously we didn't get to the College World Series, and that's pretty much the, expectation, in Baton Rouge, if not, super regional, to go all the way to Omaha. So these days with college baseball and the parity out there, it's probably a little bit unfair to, expect that every year, but it's LSU. So, we have some pretty high standards.
Gotcha. And then, what are your feelings about Jay Johnson this year and maybe seeing Paul Mainieri out there supporting Notre Dame right now in Omaha for the College World Series?
Yeah, no, I saw that. I saw he just went and visited up there and had nothing but good things to say about Link Jarrett. Paul did a lot of great things at LSU, most notably the 2009 College World Series championship. But everything runs its course, and I think Paul really had some health problems last year that kind of helped kept him from really coaching at the top of his game. And, I believe it was time for, some fresh blood. So as far as Coach Johnson, super excited about the future. As you mentioned, we have the number one recruiting class coming in next year. Of course, that's always with the huge caveat of who actually gets to campus. But, we'll see how the NIL works with keeping some of these high draft pick signees in college as opposed to going pro.
Yeah, for sure. So either way, even though LSU is not one of the final eight teams, I think you're perfect for this episode because we have three SEC West teams playing on today's slate. So as an SEC guy yourself, you probably have a pretty good feel on some of these teams, I'd say. But first, before we get to some of the teams that are still alive, do you have an opening statement or a message to some Missouri or Mississippi State fan bases?
Well, you know, those are the other two fan bases in the SEC West that didn't make it to Omaha, along with LSU. So if you're counting four of seven of our division made it to Omaha, which is ridiculous. Funnily enough, it's not even the first time that's happened. Back in, I think, 97, 98, we had four SEC West teams make it to Omaha. But yeah, you know, I've watched all these teams play. The four SEC series that LSU lost this year were Texas A&M, Arkansas, Ole Miss, and Auburn. So, you know, we won six out of our 10 SEC series, and the four we happened to lose made it to Omaha. So, you know, I'm not going to take any, you know, I'm not going to be like a moral victory or anything, but it didn't feel as bad, you know, after that.
Yeah, I mean, there's no such thing as a moral victory, but there are some positive takeaways, I guess. So
definitely. So yeah, I've seen these teams play this year. So, you know, I think, you know, have a good perspective and hope we can deliver some actionable advice to all the D-gens out there for today's slate.
Yeah. So let's get into it. I mean, game one tomorrow, we have it at 1 o'clock Central Time in Omaha local time. Ole Miss, they're the 3 seed. They're the 64th team into the field.
Oh, wait, Noah, let me stop you there, Noah. So the first game tomorrow is actually Stanford, Arkansas.
Oh, shoot. I have my page flipped around. That's my bad. Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no
right.
Worries.
You're right.
Ole Miss Auburn is the nightcap at 6 p.m. There in Omaha. Yeah. But if you want to jump into this, if you want to jump into the Stanford game, we can jump right in. You know, Stanford is 46-17, 21-9 out of the Pac-12. They're both the Pac-12 regular season and tournament champions, and they're facing Arkansas, who's 43-18, 18-12 in the SEC, and you know, it should be a great one.
Yeah, man, you caught me off my A game there. I didn't flip my notebook back from when I wrote it down. So, yeah, 1 o'clock Central Time, Omaha, Arkansas, Stanford. Arkansas is opening as the dog. They're -105. They're the 2 seed in this matchup. Stanford gets the hammer. They're the home team. They're -115. The total here is set at 10.5. Actually, just getting updated now as I see it. The over is -120. The under is +100. And Stanford on the run line, -1.5, is +150. Arkansas, -175. On February 27th, Stanford won by a score of 5-0, where Quinn Matthews started for the Trees and Hagan Smith went for the Razorbacks. Both of these guys now would most likely be found out of the bullpen today, but there is a slim chance that Matthews could still start with Alex Williams, Stanford's ace, after his recent struggles here. Williams has given up 16 runs in his last 10.2 innings pitched. And in specific, he got chased by UConn after just 2 innings of work and 7 runs against. In that February game, Matthews threw 6 innings where he only gave up 2 hits and he had 10 strikeouts in that game. The Razorbacks offense is significantly better than that 30-degree weather day, but their weakness is still left-handed pitching. Randy, who do you think David Esker is going to trot out here for the Cardinal?
Yeah, much has been made about Alex Williams postseason. You know, everybody knows the 16 earned runs in 10 innings. I mean, it's been rough 3 starts for him. A lot of people don't know before that he had a ridiculous run. Check this out, Noah.
He had a run pitcher of the year.
That's true. And in his previous 8 starts, he only gave up 3 earned runs over 59 innings.
Legit.
It's almost 60 innings and 3 earned runs. And that wasn't, you know, against just anybody. That was 3 tournament teams in there with Oregon State, UCLA, and Grand Canyon, one of your favorites. So, you know, I think it's going to be Alex Williams. And I think it's just going to be a matter of which Alex Williams shows up. But I know that David Esker is going to have somebody ready to go in case there is some issues. I think he kind of favors Quinn Matthews in that, you know, 6th, 7th inning role where he brings him in, just lets him close the game out. So I don't know if he'll go straight to Quinn Matthews, but, you know, probably to one of his other you know, other relievers that we've seen, you know, like Drew Dowd was one that I was thinking, yeah, he might be able to go to if Alex isn't on point.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think you've made it this far. You just got to go with the arms that have gotten you here to this point. Confirmed starting. He's our one confirmed starting pitcher that we have so far. Connor Nolan for Arkansas. He's 7-5 on the year with a 3.86 ERA, 105 strikeouts, 33 walks, and 101.1 innings pitched. And we're both projecting that Alex Williams, who's 8-3 with a 2.88 ERA, 90 strikeouts, 23 walks, and 97 innings pitched this year, will get the start. Just in case we see that Quinn Matthews name pop up on the bottom line, he's 9-1 on the year with a 2.62 ERA, 110 strikeouts. The walks are a little bit of an issue with him. He's got 47 of them in 96.1 innings pitched. So almost every inning he is walking a batter, but his opponents only bat 204 against him. Do you have any words on the Stanford lineup? I mean, you were pretty high on Stanford coming into the tournament. I know you had them as your bracket champion. So tell me a little bit about the Cardinal.
Stanford is a legit 1-9 lineup. There's no breaks in this lineup at all. They hit for average. They hit for power. They get on base. They really do it all, Noah. I mean, when you have Adam Crampton in the 9-hole, you know, hitting 306 on the year and 370 in the postseason, Eddie Park in the 8-hole. I mean, these guys are, like I said, a legit 1-9, and you know, there's no breaks or nobody to pitch around.
Yeah, and Eddie Park's been crazy good so far this postseason, and he won Stanford Regional Most Outstanding Player, and he's, like you said, hitting 8th in that lineup. Stanford has perhaps the third or the second best offense in Omaha this year. On February 27th, Stanford put up 13 hits in 30-degree weather compared to Arkansas's 3. Stanford has 7 guys with an average above 300 or better compared to Arkansas's only 4 above 290. But we can't sleep on this Arkansas offense, because since 27th of February, they've been much better. And they won that record high in scoring Stillwater Regional by scoring 37 runs in just 3 games against Oklahoma State alone. Do you think that Connor Nolan stays hot or Alex Williams stays cold? Or is Alex Williams going to string enough innings together for a good start, maybe 6 or 7, to hand the ball off to Matthews in this pen and get Stanford the win? Or do you have Arkansas winning this game?
I'm going to have to go with Stanford here, and the main reason is experience. 6 of the 8 Stanford position players started 3 games last year in Omaha on their College World Series team. On the other hand, Arkansas, only 1 of 9 of their starters has any College World Series experience. And believe it or not, it's their starting pitcher who started there as a freshman, Connor Nolan. So I think based on experience, Stanford is going to get the job done, and we're going to see, you know, probably, you know, 5 or 6 innings out of Alex Williams. And like you said, hand the ball off to Quinn Matthews to finish it up.
So you're on Stanford here, -115. I'm going to go the other way with Arkansas. I really like the momentum they have coming out of the regional and super regional. They've shown us that they can win in multiple different ways, whether it's a blitzkrieg fest, putting up at least 10 runs for both sides here, or winning a 4-1, 4-3 ball game against North Carolina and the Supers, a team that shows you they can win in multiple different game scripts, I believe, can be very dangerous in Omaha. And we've seen the ball fly so far in the tournament in Charles Schwab Field, or as I want to call it, the Chuck, but I know some people are calling it the Schwab this year. Any feelings on that total? We have a 10.5 total here. And I don't know if I said the odds for Arkansas for my pick, but it's at +100 right now that I see.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not betting the total, one way or the other, but you know, gun to my head, I'm probably taking the under. I think the correlated plays here are, if you think Stanford's going to win, then take the under. And if you're on Arkansas, take the over. That's the way I see it playing out. So I'm leaning toward the under.
I was kind of going the opposite way here. I don't know what Alex Williams we're going to get to show up, but I do know the Stanford's bats are going to show up. I feel like either way, I think Stanford could probably put up 4 or 5 alone. And if Alex Williams has one of those 7-8 run first 3 innings of the game, that's quite possibly what could be what Oklahoma did to Texas A&M and hit the over by themselves before the 4th inning ends. I feel like that could be a game script we have here, or another one could be Stanford puts up 2 or 3 on a good Nolan start and Arkansas puts up 3 on a good Williams start. And then we get a good baseball game at the end and we get a couple of runs scratched across against both of these bullpens. Brady Tiger, the normal closer for Arkansas, I mean, once he's been moved out of this closer role for Hagen Smith, Tigert's been a little bit here and there, whether he's given up a run or two in his 2-out, 3-out performances here. So that's the one spot where I think Stanford could get a couple of runs on Arkansas if they get into this bullpen. Do you have any strong feel on whether Stanford runs away with this and they win it on the run line?
No, I wouldn't take it on the run line either. I'm not really going out on a limb here, but, I feel good about Stanford getting the win, but I just like kind of harken back to that, Texas State game, you know, where I'm pretty sure I took them on the run line. And of course, Stanford famously came back in the bottom of the 9th and only won by 1. So I wouldn't want to get stuck. In another position like that. So I'm probably just leaning Stanford on the money line here.
Gotcha. Now we get to the game that I foolishly, whatever you want to call it, left it on cliffhanger, I guess. Ole Miss, the 3 seed, the 64th team into the 64 team field, 37-22 on the year. Auburn, 42-20. We have Ole Miss, who's -140 as the 3 seed, favored against the number 14 overall seed in the tournament, Auburn, who's +120. The total set at 10 with the over juice slightly at -115 compared to -105 on the under. And Ole Miss at -1.5 is +125, and Auburn +1.5 is -145. This is a great SEC West matchup between two foes that many thought, and including me, wouldn't be here right now. So let's have some fun first before we talk about this game. Who would you rather have on your team right now? Would it be Ole Miss's Tim Elko, who has a .302 batting average, an OPS of .1068, 22 home runs, 71 RBIs, or are you going to take the juice box and Sonny DeShera, who has a .392 batting average, an OPS of .1369, 22 home runs and 59 RBIs on the season?
I mean, that's like choosing between a Lamborghini and a Porsche. I mean, they're both great players, but I'm going to go with Sonny D here and his, I don't want to mess this up because when I saw this stat, earlier this year, I was just floored. But so Sonny D has give me 1 second because this is going to be worth it, guys. A ridiculous .560 on base percentage. And, you know, I know he's not like your typical like guy that you think about, like, you know, OBP is just, you know, I mean, because he's a power hitter as well. But I mean, that's the stat that really just stuck out at me is he gets on base as well. So, you know, that's and that's powered by 68 walks to go along with that .392 average you mentioned.
They've been giving him some Bonds treatment. I don't know about intentionally walking with the bases loaded, but first and second, they're walking them still. Like they're loading the bases with him going up. And
unless, Oregon State's not, but everybody else is. So
yeah, Oregon State. Sorry, didn't quite learn their lesson. The very first inning, they gave up a 2-run bomb on a 2-0 pitch to Sonny DeShera in that first game. That costed them the game. They ended up losing that by 2 runs, which was the DeShera home run. And then in game 3, pretty much the same situation happened. And that's what I was going to get to is Cole Foster in the 2-hole and Bobby Pierce in the 4-hole are both hitting very well in this tournament. And it's not giving the teams the luxury of being able to walk Sonny D like they used to be able to in the regular season. One more step to this question, though. Let's raise it a little bit. Sonny D or the Hispanic Titanic, Ivan Melendez?
Oh, well, I mean, you know, yeah, that's going to be Ivan. And, I saw he just won the Dick Howitzer Trophy and, you know, it's well deserved, and I know he's up there for the Golden Spikes as well. So I mean, I don't know. What do you think? You think he's going to win it? But yeah, I mean, give me Ivan on that one.
I think it's Ivan in the runaway, but I mean, behind him, it's Sonny DeShera, honestly. So I figured that was a little fun question that I could ask you, but what's your opinion on this game before I get into some of this pitching handicaps here?
Yeah. So, well, I mean, you hit the nail on the head, and this is a lesson that I learned this year about handicapping baseball games. And, you know, it's basically handicapping 101, and it's know the starting pitchers. Don't go in and, you know, spout off on who you're going to take and who you like without really knowing, you know, who's going to be starting or having a really good idea. So I think that that's really key to the handicap here. Now I'm pretty sure Dylan DeLucia is getting the ball for Ole Miss, but for Auburn, I've seen people saying that it's going to be Trace Bright. Trace Bright, honestly, I don't think it would be very bright if they did that. I mean,
good one.
I mean, if they start him, honestly, they deserve to go 2-Q because, I mean, I know you'll probably get into his stats, but, you know, he's got a 5.23 ERA. You know, he's 4-4 on the year. But the thing here is, you know, we're looking at either Trace Bright or Joseph Gonzalez.
Yes.
And the one thing that really stands out here to me is Trace Bright did pitch against Ole Miss back in March. He gave up three earned runs, six runs total in four innings in a 15-2 loss to Ole Miss back in March. Now, for some reason or another, Auburn's quote-unquote ace, Joseph Gonzalez, didn't throw that weekend. So Ole Miss hasn't seen Gonzalez yet. So if I'm Butch Thompson, I'm rolling Gonzalez out there and taking my chances in game two.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And honestly, that's kind of what I had here written down for some of these pitching matchups is we don't know who the Tigers are going to roll out there, but we kind of have a good feeling in who the Rebs are going to roll out there. And I think it's safe to say that we're going to project that Dylan DeLucia is going to throw here. He's 6-2 on the year with a 4.35 ERA, 88 strikeouts, 26 walks, and 78.2 innings pitched. I mean, this is a guy that's been really good for Ole Miss down the stretch of the regular season into the NCAA tournament. He's given them a great he's been a great number one for them after they had to completely redesign this pitching staff. And then right behind him, Hunter Elliott's been exceptional as the number two as a true freshman. So like you mentioned, Auburn's the one that's kind of just up in the air. We don't know where they're going to go here. Their ace, Hayden Mullins, is now out for the year. And like you mentioned, Auburn's new number one isn't really automatic in Trace Bright. So he was only able to get two outs in his last start against Oregon State, which doesn't give you much confidence in the guy either. The other guy, like you mentioned, is Joseph Gonzalez. Joseph Gonzalez on the year is 7-3 with a 2.95 ERA, 47 strikeouts, 14 walks in 73.1 innings pitched. And he has not faced Ole Miss. Ole Miss has not seen him yet. I did not look to see if he came out of the bullpen, but I don't believe they definitely didn't see him as a start. I know that. So, and then Trace Bryce, just for his seasonal stats, he's 4-4 with a 5.23 ERA, 86 strikeouts, 38 walks in 75.2 innings pitched. Auburn does have a very good bullpen, though, in Blake Burkhalter, who has 15 saves, 66 strikeouts, only seven walks. And War Eagle behind him has guys like Tommy Sheehan and Carson Skipper, Chase Alsup, and Jordan Armstrong, who really pieced together some key innings against the Beavers. But the Rebels bullpen has only given up, they haven't given up a run in 17.1 NCAA tournament innings. So far, they've been led by Josh Gaddis, who's got 43 innings pitched on the year with 43 strikeouts, 16 walks, and also their new closer, Brandon Johnson, who has 11 saves with 52 strikeouts and 17 walks on the year. They also have Jack Washburn, Mason Nichols, and Jack Daugherty that has participated into those 17.1 runless innings. So what's your confidence on the pitching staffs here, and where are you going to land picking this game on the money line, Randy?
This is completely coming down to who Auburn starts here, but if they go with Gonzalez, I'm taking Auburn on the money line. I just think that he's an arm that they haven't seen. I did check. He took a couple of weeks off in early March. So for some reason, I don't know if he had some issues with his arm or whatever, but he didn't throw. And I think that that's going to be key for Auburn. And, if they do go ahead and start him, if they start Trace Bright, everything, you know, that I just said, just throw it out the window. But I think that they're going to be smart enough to start Gonzalez.
Hopefully.
And like you said, with their pin, I believe they'll get it done. I'm really big on Carson Skipper. I know you mentioned him, and he had, three shutout innings in that game one win against Oregon State. And he came back in and had some really effective innings in game three against Oregon State to help Auburn win that Corvallis regional. So I see Auburn on the money line here, and that's what I'm rolling with.
Yeah, I kind of leaked like my key to the game here, and that's to not let Cole Foster get on in front of DeShera. You don't want to be putting yourself in a bad spot with probably the second best hitter in the country coming up to bat. You do not want any guys on base, let alone in scoring position when he's at the plate. For me, I'm just going to go with what I've been seeing out of this Rebels bullpen. I think it's a really hot team right now, both the arms and the bats. They're playing really well. And all the way back in March, Ole Miss won this series by 2-1, 2-1. And that was before they completely redesigned their bullpen. Auburn hasn't seen Dylan DeLucia as a starter yet either. And I really like the way the kid's been pitching lately. Ole Miss has won 5 of his last 7 starts. I'm going to go with Ole Miss on the money line at minus 140. You're on Auburn if Gonzalez pitches at plus 120. That's a huge if there. The over-under's at 10. Over slightly juiced at minus 115, the under at minus 105. Randy, what are you thinking for the total? Are you going to stay away from these Omaha totals right now? Because we have no idea what's going to happen.
Well, again, you know, I kind of always like to correlate these totals with the money line. And, you know, I see if Gonzalez starts, I'm on Auburn in the under. If Trace Bright starts, I'm on Ole Miss in the over. So, you know, it's a pretty easy handicap for me. I'm just waiting to see who's starting for Auburn, and that's going to dictate which way I go.
Yeah, I kind of like running these trends too. And all 3 of Auburn's games against Oregon State went under the total. And Ole Miss, they won 10-0. I can't remember off the top of my head whether that one was an over or an under. I believe it was honestly a over just because
I think it was a push.
It was a push. Okay.
Yeah. I remember that
Tanner
being
Hall
10 and I'm like,
and DeLucia. So that was 10. Okay. So that was a push. Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. the second game was definitely under with a 5-0 score. So both of these teams have been playing the unders lately since the super regional rounds. Ole Miss and Auburn both put up football scores against their opponents in the regionals. So again, it's just really, if you have a feel and if you're buying that these balls are just juiced by the NCAA right now, because we've never seen a team put up 12 runs in a game ever in Omaha. This is according to the ESPN broadcast. So if they're wrong, it's not my fault. I'm just taking it straight from them. Never, ever 12 runs. Oklahoma did it in 4 innings, and never, ever was there was 12 runs combined by 8 total games before that Oklahoma game. And they put up 12 in the 4th inning. And then this tournament has already hit more home runs than the 1988 tournament, which only had 3 home runs total, which is ridiculous. So there's already been like 7 hit in this tournament. Lastly, do you have any sort of lean? Maybe if Gonzalez is on the mound, do you like this +1.5 at a -145 price?
I do. I think that their bullpen is going to be enough to get it done after Gonzalez. And I'm that confident in him and his arm to get it done on the run line. But, you know, it comes down to, what Butch Thompson wants to do. And by the way, ESPN is full of shit. They said that nobody's ever scored 12 runs in Omaha in this stadium.
Yeah. No single team had scored 12 in the new stadium.
Okay, well, I mean, I know that Stanford scored, they beat Arizona last year 14-5, and the only reason I know that is because I was going through their box scores last year to see, you know, what players were still here. So I'm not trying to sound like a know-it-all or anything, but that was probably Ravage It was trying to sound like he, you know, he.
It was. Yeah. And that's what I get for believing in ESPN when they only cover college baseball one time a weekend in the SEC and then one time a year in May and June.
Yeah, well, I normally like Ravi, but you know,
I do too.
I don't know where he's coming in, coming from there. I think we need to get big Ben McDonald on the primetime broadcast. I saw he's on in the afternoon, but
yeah, you're a big Ben guy. Did you see that video of him picking up that armadillo?
Oh yeah, no, he's
that was hilarious.
His Instagram is great. A lot of good hunting and you know, outdoors type stuff on his Instagram. He's a good old boy. So
yeah,
love me some Ben.
All right. Well, I mean, this was fun, dude. And do you have anything to add on these two games or maybe something to happen today or what you're expecting down the road here in the future? Just kind of like a team that you're really confident in could win it all. Do you have any futures in line right now? Did you have any good hits throughout the tournament so far?
Well, you know, after watching this Notre Dame Texas game, I mean, I'm just so impressed with Notre Dame. And yeah. I know it sounds funny to say after they beat, you know, the greatest team of all, you know, of all time last weekend, but they really proved it to me today that they can come back, calm their nerves, you know, and get the job done in the highest pressure situation there is. So I think it sets up really nice for Notre Dame going through that side of the bracket. So, you know, with Oklahoma, we all know that they're you know, the starters behind Jake Bennett aren't much to speak of.
And they threw David Sandlin today in relief, which is their number two. So they're probably going to have to come with Cade Horton maybe if Sandlin threw too many pitches. I don't know what his total was at when he finished.
Yeah, I think it sets up really nice for Notre Dame. And, of course, you know, I'm high on Stanford, but it's kind of hard to pick against one of these SEC teams. So I think this this bracket today, these games that are starting today are going to be, you know, this is going to be the fun one to watch. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, very impressive showing by Notre Dame today after, you know, it could have easily been a letdown spot after a super regional win against Tennessee. And then they ran through a very bad matchup in my eyes, a heavily right-handed Texas Longhorns lineup that kills left-handed pitching. And they only gave up 3 runs total. And it was a lefty in John Michael Bertrand who went 6 or 7. I don't have it in front of me. And then Finley came in and threw 2. Both of the lefties came in and threw excellently. And this lefty, true freshman in Jack Finley, is just going out there with no regards of how big the moment is. You know, he's just looked so well this postseason. So thank you for coming on, Randy. This was a ton of fun. And I love talking to you guys in the Slack channel. So just keep up the comments. I love it. And you've been doing it all year. So that's why I wanted to have you on, because I know you're a pretty knowledgeable guy when it comes to one, college baseball in general, and two, some of the lines that are coming out on these games. And today or this year has been great because it was the first full year that we've truly had lines and odds out for every game, for every weekend during the regular season and not just in postseason time. So, do you want to give out any social media that the fans and followers can follow you on?
You can just find me on the Slack. I'm on Twitter, but I'm not too active there. So I definitely recommend the Slack channel, and not just for the college baseball channel, which, you know, I'm happy to have kind of helped, you know, grow a little bit this year, but SGPN has channels for anything you can think of that you want to bet on. I highly recommend joining the Slack and, you know, joining it on the fun.
Yeah, man. So with that said, I'm going to wrap up the podcast here. You can follow me on Twitter at 77NB. That's the word 70, the number 7NB. You can follow the show, The College Baseball Experience, at TCE on SGPN. Like, favorite, comment, review, subscribe to wherever you're listening to this or getting the information from on whatever podcast feed you're listening to or social media. Thank you all for listening. You've been experiencing the better side of college baseball with The College Baseball Experience. Adios, amigos.